God is slow to anger. That's a metaphor or a statement of his patience. It means God is patient, slow to anger. How many crimes, how many terrible assaults, how many fights, how many murders in marriages would have been prevented if people were slow to anger, if people had patience? We talked last time about patience, how Jesus Christ expressed his perfect patience in Paul, and how Paul urged Timothy to be patient, and how Paul was an example also to the churches in patience. Patience, the ability to wait, the ability to hold back, the ability to stop. Now, as I say, I titled the sermon, God Wants You, in parentheses, and me, to be patient. I'm not generally patient. I don't like standing in lines. I gripe and complain and get fidgety. I tend to be impatient. I need to learn patience and patient endurance. Now, we are commanded in the Bible to be patient, we as Christians. Take a look at Ephesians, you know. To live with others, we're commanded to be patient. Here is Ephesians chapter 4 of Ephesians and verse 1. Paul says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, I plead with you, I beg you, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. In verse 2 now, with all humility and gentleness. Gentleness means the gentleness of the strong. It's translated meekness in the King James, but it's a word that means gentle, strong, being gentle while you're strong. With all humility and gentleness, with patience. With patience, showing tolerance. Patience often gets tolerance for one another. Another translation of that phrase, showing tolerance for one another, is putting up with one another. You ever put up with people? You put up with one another. And in order to put up with people, you have to have patience. Because people tend to rub you the wrong way. They aggravate you. They grieve you. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Put on compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience, got to put it on. Bearing with one another, that is, again, putting up with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, we urge you, brethren, this is chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians and verse 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone. You know, one of the things that has driven people away, we get a new church person, we get a person coming in, inquiring about our church, liking something, coming in, and people are so impatient to help them. You know, well, you don't understand this. Well, let me explain this. Let me explain that. You know, we got to do this. You got to do this. And we're so impatient to bring them up to where you think you are. And you want impatience. We got to get them going. And we got to get them up. We got to get them believing exactly like we do in every way, shape, or form. And we just offend them. We're impatient. God's been patient with you. Now, patience also in the New Testament and in the Bible overall, patience involves perseverance, continuing on in the face of adversity, and it also involves waiting. Okay, but the patience involves perseverance and waiting. Notice Nehemiah. I'm going to turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. This is Nehemiah talking, and he says, however, he's talking to God. It's his prayer to God. However, you bore with them for many years. He's talking about the Israelites, how God put up with them for many years and admonished them by your spirit through your prophets. How many times has God sent prophets to Israel saying, you know, you got to stop doing this. You got to stop. You got to turn around. You're doing the wrong thing, and trying to get them. Yet they would not give ear. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Finally, after admonishment after admonishment. Nevertheless, listen to verse 31. In your great compassion, you did not make an end of them or forsake them, for you are a gracious and compassionate God. He bore with them for many years. How long has God borne with you? How patient has God been with you? Psalm 37, verse 7 and 8. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Now, those are two words that smack me in the face. Okay? Wait patiently. I might wait, but I will probably not wait. I wait impatiently. I wait and I pace and I'm nervous and I wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. You know, when you're fretting, when you're afraid, you know, we sang the song, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Well, what does trust mean? Trust, if I trust you, then I can be more patient. Trust and faith and patience, they all go together. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, and dropping down to verse 12, rejoicing in hope, Paul says, persevering, that means enduring, persevering, enduring in tribulation. That's a form of patience. Patient endurance. You just keep enduring it. How many people say, I'm done. I'm done enduring it. I'm done. I'm out of it. Patient in tribulation. That's when things are not going well. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. So patient or persevering, enduring in tribulation. There are times when things are not good. Things are not all right. And you have to have that patient endurance. I keep enduring. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul's statement here about waiting and enduring. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 6. Paul talking about himself here. But if we are afflicted, we the ministry, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. The brethren sometimes are going to have to go, he says, I'm suffering out here. You brethren are going to have to sometimes go through the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope is for you. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Patient enduring. That's what we have to have. Patient endurance. When James wrote to the brethren, he wrote this phrase. Here it is. James 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. You know how many people got impatient? I want the Lord to come. So they keep searching. They search through the Bible. And one guy searched. He saw a thing in Psalms. And then he saw another psalm. And he came up with a year. And he told all of his church members that Christ was going to come in that year. It was back in the 1980s. And so they all sold. They sold their things and got ready for Christ to come. They sold their houses. They sold. They cashed it in. They were so sure he was going to come at a certain Feast of Tabernacles or Feast of Trumpets. And they all got ready in that year, and it didn't happen. And then he said, okay, he made a mistake. And as people often do, they make a mistake. They didn't consider the year zero. And so, okay, it's next year. Of course, now I'm out of a lot of stuff, but you know, next year, if you can endure it, meet us at this same spot, and Christ is coming. Well, he didn't come then either. Impatience. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. What's that mean? Stop trying to make things happen. Wait for God to do it. The farmer waits. Listen to this. Here's an analogy. He says, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil. You can't go out there and yell at the crops and make them grow faster. Being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. You too, he says in verse 8, you too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. How near is it? That was written in the first century. How near is the coming of the Lord? Well, how long do you have to live? How long do you have to live? That's when the coming of the Lord will be for you. When you die, your next instant thing will be seeing Jesus Christ in the resurrection of the just. Hopefully, we'll all be there in the resurrection of the just. And that's it, just like that. You'll go to sleep in death and wake up in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and there you will be with Christ. How soon is the coming of the Lord? Well, how long do you have to live? Because I can't predict a certain date that we will see it. I know too many people did that. Now, patience really has a lot of benefits. You know, it does. It really has benefits. Listen to this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25 and verse 15. It uses a different word in the Old Testament. It doesn't use the word patience, but it goes this way. Proverbs 25, verse 15. By forbearance, a ruler is persuaded. I'm going to just forbear. I'm just going to stay with it. Stay with it. I'm going to keep putting that, keep asking for it. By forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. Just, you know, just patient. This person is coming to the ruler. He's trying to say, persuade him for something, and he just keeps coming, and he's very patient, and he just keeps resenting it. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. And we desire each one of you, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those, listen to this phrase now, imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How did these people get to where, well, after they die, they're going to be inheritors of the promises? Through faith and patience. That's what it takes at the end of your life, too. That's what it takes when you have a disease, too. That's what it takes when you're in trouble, too. That's what it takes. Faith and patience. So patience is rewarded. Nobody had more patience, I suppose. And I probably wouldn't have got my reward if I'd been there, because I'm probably a little bit less patient. But nobody had more patience than Abraham, who waited 25 years for a son. God promised him a son, and then he, you know, 10 years went by, promised it again, or he confirmed the promises, and another 15 years. He found 25 years. And this is what it says in the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 20, the end of it. And he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. He did get the son. He waited 25 years. Now, there are a lot of people saying, you know, don't tell me anymore. Stop telling me you're going to give me a son. You know, it was 10 years ago you told me. You know, it was 15 years ago you told me. I don't want to hear it. He had faith and patience. Now, here's the real sadness, in a sense, that God is so patient with us and so patient with his people, but guess what? His people weren't very patient with him. Take a look at the book of Numbers now. When they were in the wilderness, you remember, here they come out of Egypt. They're coming out. God frees them from being slaves. They're on their way out. But God had them go around. They had to go by the sea, and they had to go by Edom. So listen, I'm going to read from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. Numbers 21. Here it is. Then they set out from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. Now, going around the land of Edom was not a direct route. You know, you're going around the land of Edom. Instead of going out this directly, they went out like this. You're going on this big detour. And these people are, well, why are we going here? We're going around this. Why are we doing that? They went around the land of Edom. So, listen to the next phrase. I'm reading now from the New American Standard Version. And the people became impatient. Now, here's what literally the Hebrew says. Literally, this is literally, it reads, the soul of the people was short. That's the Hebrew statement. The soul of the people was short. Are you short-tempered? You know, oh, he was very short with me. What does that mean? Somebody's short with you. Well, they're short with you. Absolutely. They don't have any length of time. They have no time, no patience. So here's how it's translated in almost all the modern translations. And the people became impatient. That is, the soul of the people was short. They became impatient because of the journey. Now, well, you know, we're going way around here. Why are we going so far? So what did the people do in verse 5? This is Numbers chapter 21, verse 5. The people spoke against God. Against God. And Moses. And here's what they said. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now, they just saw the miracles. They just saw the Red Sea open. They just saw the Egyptians die. They just saw all this deliverance. But they still asked the question, why are you going to kill us out here? Because they were on the journey. They're impatient now. The soul of the people became short. They became impatient. And who did they become impatient with? With God. With God. They became impatient with God. And here's what they say, for there is no food. That means that literally they were saying the word bread. There was no bread and no water. And we, and actually the Hebrew means our soul, that's what they were saying, our soul, our nephesh, loathes this miserable food. Now what did God give them? What did God give them? Give them manna, right? What are they getting? They're getting this manna. And it's coming in, and they say, you know, we're sick and tired. Why have you brought us out here to kill us? And there's no food. There's no bread, regular bread. There's no water the way that we split it. And our soul, we just hate this miserable. Now, in the Hebrew, the word can be either miserable or it can be worthless. We hate this worthless food. You're giving us food that is worthless. You talk about impatience with God. That's where they were. But God was patient with them. Let me read you the book of Nehemiah chapter 9 again. It's dropping back to verse 17 now. Dropping down to verse 17. Here's what Nehemiah said in his prayer. They refused to listen, and they did not remember your wondrous deeds, which you had performed among them. They became stubborn. They appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. You remember? Oh, we'll just get a leader. Who's going to take us back? Let somebody get us back to Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger. Notice Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. Slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And you did not forsake them. Now here's God, super patient with them. And here are the people, completely impatient with God. You know, you and I have to ask our own question. As patient as God has been with you, when you make a prayer to God, how impatient are you? When you ask for things, how impatient are you for God to give you what you want, to do for you what you want? So here's the opposite of what the Israelites did of patience. Rather than thanking God for the food they had, which God gave them from the sky, the manna, and thanking God for the freedom, and thanking God for his visible presence, they saw the cloud by day and a fire by night, the cloud of fire by night in the wilderness that lit them up. They grumbled because they had to take the long way around. Here, impatience is shown for what it really is: selfish, whining, and demanding. And one of the things you deal with in life, and you have to deal, and I deal with it with clients too all the time. You know, you have a certain demandingness, as though life should give me this. Life should be this way for me. I should have it this way. A certain demandingness, which is immature. It's childish. It's selfish. Whining. In this case, when you're impatient with God, the self is placed above all of God's purposes, and it demands that that whatever it desires be met first and met immediately, rather than waiting according to God's plan. So we can become very, very selfish. The Israelites were. They were totally demanding. Demand more food. I want meat. Remember, they finally demanded, I want meat. I want meat. So God had all the quail come in, and they were just so avarice for it, you know, because they had eaten the manna for all this time. And they were just so avarice that God finally just said, oh, I'm going to strike them down while the food is in their mouth. He sent a plague on them, and he killed a number of them. I mean, God is slow to anger, but, you know, you can push him so far, and then he's going to go. Now, how important is patience? Well, when you talk about the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is, listen to this, love, joy, peace, patience. There it is. Love, joy, peace, patience. Then kindness and goodness, faithfulness, and so on. Okay? Finally, self-control. But patience, very high up on that list. Love, joy, peace, patience. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, you know, we talk about marriage. Marriage, how many marriages would be so much better off if both husband and wife were patient? Patient with each other's foibles, patient with each other's errors, patient with each other's mistakes, patience with each other's idiosyncratic behaviors. Everybody has idiosyncratic behaviors. They do. And they grate on the other person. You can ask Molly. They grate on the other person. Okay? And you have to find patience for this. So when Paul was giving a definition. You know that beautiful definition in the book of 1 Corinthians 13? It's the definition of love. You remember? He says, you know, if I talk with the tongues of men and of angels and I don't have love, I'm just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And he goes all this stuff. But then he comes down to a definition of love. What is love? In verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. The first definition is this. Love is patient. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Version. Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. Love is patient. And think about that. How many marriages would be better off if love, you know, we say we have love for one another, but do you have love for somebody if you have no patience for them? You have love for somebody if you have no tolerance, if you're not kind? Love is patient, and love is kind. Very important statements. And if people all across the country, all across the world, had patience in love. You know, in some of these Muslim countries, they just beat their wives. You know, you do make a mistake. I had an aunt, my aunt Betty, her name was Elizabeth, but we called her Betty. When she, at 13, ran off to get married so she could get away from her stepfather, and she got married to a 21-year-old man, and she cooked him his first meal, but she, you know, she was young. She's a 13-year-old, and she burned it. She burned the meal. She ruined it. And he came home, and he just slapped her all over the place. He just hit her, slapped her around, and really, really punished her for that. He had no patience. In fact, there's one of the older ladies that was there in that rented area. She said to him, you know, she's a good girl. She's a good girl. She'll make you a good wife, but you got to be patient with her. You know, she's just young. You got to give her time. You got to give her. And this is what God gives all of us, patience. He's patient with us. You make mistakes. You make them all the time. You make mistakes. You probably made the same mistake over and over and over. And God is patient. God is slow to anger. Love is patient. God is love. And God is patient, slow to anger. In 1 Thessalonians, we have this statement. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Here's the example. Paul says, be patient. Paul. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Be patient with everyone. Not just your wife, not just your husband. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. All we seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Be patient with everyone. It's so easy to insist. See, what does it mean when I'm impatient? Okay, I'm going to think what I'm... It's a demandingness. See? I'm standing in line. People ought to act faster. That person in front of me at the bank shouldn't take so long to make their deposit. Why are they asking all these questions? Why haven't they got this teller trying to check into their bank account? Why can't they be smarter? See, it's a demandingness. It's an arrogance, really. It's an arrogance. As though, you know, everything revolves around me, around you. Impatience is an arrogance. Be patient with everyone. You know, I remember talking with one woman who was a very good driver. She really knew how to drive her car. And, you know, she could handle her car a lot better. I said, you know, I'm sure you handled your car a lot better. Fact is, she said to me, am I your last patient tonight? And I said, yes, you are. She said, I'll race you to my, she said, you go up the five, you're going to go take the 605 out to the five? I said, yes. She said, I'll race you to my off ramp. I said, well, you know, if you want, I'll race you. Okay. I said, now, you know, I've got, at that time I had the Hughes Mercedes turbo diesel. I said, well, I, you know, when this thing turbo diesel kicks in, it really goes. She said, I'll race you. Man, she was like this, and waving to me as I approached the off ramp, you know. So I told her later, I said, you know, you are, you know, incredible driver. You know, you drive very well. And then she comes in, she said, people are so stupid. You know, they're stupid on the freeway. They're just stupid. They don't know how to. And I said, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You are a much better driver than the average person. You're far more talented in the way you can move your car. You know, she's got eyes that really see almost all directions, and she just goes like this, boom, 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 boom. And I said, you're impatient. People are not smart like you. Not everybody has that talent and that ability. They're driving, you know, a lot of people are kind of like, they don't know where they are when they're driving. I said, but I saw the way you drive. I know you're an excellent driver. You realize that not most people are not as talented as you are. You've got to be more patient. She was very impatient about everybody else not being able, because one of the things that contributes to impatience is everybody should be like what? Like me, right? Everybody should be like me. Well, wait a second, who said that? Not everybody's like you. You got to be patient with people. Be patient, as he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, with everyone, for all peoples. Now, patient endurance, when you can endure, here's the real important part. When you can endure unjust suffering. Here's what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what credit is there if when you sin or commit a crime and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? What credit is that? I'll endure it. It's my fault, they're scolding you, and you're getting yelled at by the cop, or you're getting yelled at by somebody. You committed a sin, an error, and you say, yeah, it is my fault. Yes, I did that. I did it wrong. I'm sorry. You don't get any credit for that kind of patience. But if when you do what is right, and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor, and the Greek word is charis, the grace. This finds grace with God. You want favor with God, you endure it when it's not your fault and you get blamed for it. And then Peter cites the example that we have before us. For you have been called for this purpose. What purposes are we called for? Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. That is, in the steps of suffering. Who committed no sin, he's quoting now from the Psalm, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, you know, called names, accused, said bad things, you know. Names can stir you up. Somebody calls you a stupid name, or you're stupid, or you're dumb, or this. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. Now, he's suffering, and he didn't deserve it. Falsely accused, suffering unjustly, not a sinner. He was not deceitful. Sin was not on him. He did not commit any sin. Yet while suffering, he uttered no threats. But what did he do? He kept entrusting himself to him, meaning God, who judges righteously. He just, I'm yours, Father. I'm yours. I'm with you. I'm here. I'm with you. I'm yours. He kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. That's patience. That's called patient endurance. And when you see, we can often patiently endure a lot of things that are, you know, that really we may be innocent about, and sometimes we're guilty of. But when you are falsely accused, when you are suffering for doing what's right, when you patiently endure that, you will get God's favor. And when you endure at the end of your life, at the end of your struggle of this physical human life, you get God's favor. Boy, that's where you want it, because you want to come up in that resurrection of the just. Now here's what Paul says. I'm going to read from Romans now to conclude. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. Patient endurance. For I consider the sufferings of this present time, Paul says, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. This present time has sufferings. There are. Now, there are joys, there are happinesses, there are fun times, of course. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly, waits. We wait, but we wait eagerly, okay? We wait with anticipation for the revealing of the sons of God. And that's the creation that does it. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself, and you're part of that creation, also will be set free from its slavery to corruption. Do you know anything that doesn't wear out? I mean, do you know anything that doesn't wear out sooner or later? You know, you see these new cars on that way. Well, they look new. They're always, you know, they show a movie of the 1940s and they're driving 1940 vehicles in there, and you see these. They all look polished. They all look very, very new. You know, they all look really good because they keep updating them and renewing them, and you know, putting parts on them and all that to keep them going. But I don't know anything that doesn't wear out that is not subject. It's subject to creation, to corruption. For the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So that creation, we're talking about you. We're talking about you and me. You and I will be part of that freedom to move into the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth until now. And not only this, but we also, we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly. That's a wonderful word, waiting eagerly. We're waiting, but we're eager. You know, I want it, you want it, but we wait, waiting eagerly, beautiful words, for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already has? You know, who hopes for what he already sees? You don't have to hope for it, it's there, you see it. But listen to verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see. Now what is that we're hoping for that we do not see? We don't see our glorious body. We don't see the kingdom of God right now. We don't see the glories of God's, of the salvation that we so long for. We don't see that glory. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. With perseverance, we stay with it. Perseverance. I used to love Paul Harvey's little statement. He used to say, keep on, keeping on. keep on keeping on. That's perseverance. When you keep on keeping on, you're waiting eagerly for it, the kingdom of God. It takes faith and patience.